We're going to look here today at seeking Him with all of our heart. And my messages on revival kind of go along with 2 Chronicles chapter 7, don't they? It's just a wonderful roadmap to revival. You know, if my people, which are called by my name, we've looked at that, shall humble themselves and pray. We looked at those things. And today is going to be seeking Him with all thine heart. Okay, we need to make sure that we seek the Lord completely. Let's look here at Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 24. Before we do, let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Father, I just pray that You'd bless the message now, Lord. Touch it in our hearts and our lives and just push it down and print it into our eyes and our minds, Lord, so that we would seek You. Dear Lord, You know that the words on paper are nothing unless You empower them. And I pray, Lord, that You would just use the message now for Your honor and for Your glory. Use it to change hearts, lives, minds, directions here today. In Jesus' name, amen. So Deuteronomy chapter 4, let's look into the Word of God here and see these things. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 24, the Bible says, "For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. When thou shalt beget children and children's children, and you shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves and make a graven image or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God to provoke Him to anger. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereinto ye go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days." I skipped part of a verse there. "But ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you. And there ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, and shalt find Him, if thou seek Him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shalt be obedient unto His voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which He sware unto them." We have a duty here to seek the Lord, and to seek Him first. Okay? And I want us to make sure that we understand this thing. Many years ago, I went to a youth conference, and it was a huge youth conference. It had 10,000 people at this youth conference, and our church was part of that. It was actually going on in two different auditoriums at the same time. It had so many people in this building, these buildings. And they had to separate the junior teenagers from the senior teenagers. It was huge. And I was kind of surprised. Normally when you go to young people, youth camps, things like that, they always preach against stuff first. But at this one, the preacher got up and he preached about the Lord Jesus Christ and about dedicating yourself to Him and seeking Him. And he started off with that. And I went to my wife that night and I said, "I just can't believe that he started off with that." And I said, "But you know, he's right." See, we always try to seek God after we reform. And that's not the way to do it. See, it's a natural thing for us to believe that reform comes before return. But it is not a scriptural thing. It's unscriptural for us to believe that. You say, "Oh no, preacher, you've got to reform and get yourself right, and then you go back to the Lord." But you'll not find that in the Bible. Seeking the Lord comes first. It comes before it, even in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, before we turn from our wicked ways. We seek the Lord first. That's the reason why we turn from our wicked ways. That is the impetus that turns us from those things. That is the power, the draw. That is the one who gives us the strength. That is the one who teaches us what is right and what is wrong. If you just simply turn from your evil ways, who's telling whether you're turning from everything that you ought to turn from, or are you only turning from some of the things that you ought to turn from? Because you see, without the Lord, we don't know what we should do. One preacher said, "Practically every false doctrine comes from getting things out of order. God's divine order is salvation and then change, not change and then salvation. Don't we agree with that? You know, you come as a sinner, you accept the Lord as your Savior, and He changes you. Okay, the change comes afterwards. You don't have to go out and say, okay, I'm going to read my Bible, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to do what's right, I'm going to attend church, and I'm going to... and then I'll get saved. That's not the way it works. You know? That's not the way it works in anything. Okay, but we have to go along and realize, oh, that's the way it works for unbelievers. But you know, that's also the way it works for believers, isn't it? The truth is that one is cleansed from the sins of the flesh just as he is saved by yielding to the Holy Spirit and letting Him do the work. We ought to always yield to the will of God, to the Holy Spirit, and yield to His power and His strength. You know, matter of fact, that's why we are told to confess our sins. And He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It doesn't say to cleanse yourself from all unrighteousness and then confess your sins. It says to confess your sins first. Because otherwise there's no way you're going to really get clean. My daughter goes, and if she gets something dirty, she's 7 years old. She can't clean things the way that she ought to. But my wife, she can. And she can get it clean. She can make sure it gets clean. My daughter will take, if she spilled chocolate on her clothes, and she might take that dress into mommy and say, and try to clean it and wipe it off and scrub it and only make a worse mess. But mommy knows how to get clothes clean. God knows how to get lives clean. Amen? We need to turn things over to the Lord first. We need to seek Him first. Deuteronomy 4, verse 30, just the first part of it says, when thou art in tribulation. It doesn't say after thou art in tribulation. It says when thou art in tribulation and all these things are come upon thee. America doesn't need to wait until we get out of whatever period we're in, until things get better, and then seek God. We need to seek God now. We need to seek God right now. When there's problems in our country, that's the perfect time to seek the Lord. When there's problems in your life, that's the perfect time to seek the Lord. When you're involved in sin and it's dragging you down and wearing you out, that is exactly when you need to seek God with all your heart. Now, we need to seek Him when things are good, too. I'm going to tell you, sometimes we get a little proud and we think that everything's going well. We don't need the Lord anymore. We need the Lord at all times. But we need to seek God right now. Don't fall for the trap there that Rehoboam fell into. In 2 Chronicles 12:14, the Bible says, and he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. It doesn't say he got into trouble because he did wrong. It says he did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. He never set his mind upon one thing, and that's that God needs to come first, that God is preeminent, and whatever the Lord says, that is the law. It's kind of like parents. Parents go around and tell their kids all the time what they ought to and ought not to do. But if a child decides that they're not going to listen to mom and dad, it's going to be pretty hard for parents to break it through there. So that's why Solomon said, my son, give me thine heart. It starts off with us giving God our heart, with us seeking Him with all of our heart. Going to the Lord first, the same pattern for an unbeliever as it is for a believer. The unbeliever must meet the Savior first. How can you possibly get saved without Jesus Christ? Take the cross away and then say, now let me give you a plan of salvation. What kind of plan of salvation is that? Without Christ, there is no sacrifice. Without Christ, there is no Savior. Without a Savior, there's no salvation. That's like throwing a buoy out there to a drowning man and saying, but no one's coming. The buoy is just temporary. I may be a little buoy, but I can't save you. Need someone to come in there and pull you out, and there's only one person that could do that, and that's Jesus Christ. We must meet the Savior first. You know, a Christian, a believer, needs to meet the Advocate first. There is no one to stand on our behalf in heaven. Can you imagine this? The Bible says we have an Advocate with the Father. Apparently, that's the place we need the Advocate there, is with the Father. Could you imagine being accused of a crime in another country? You can stand here on the shores of America and yell as loud as you want. No other country will hear you. You definitely will not go into the ear of a judge. Well, how many, when you do wrong, can yell up to heaven and have it hear God without the Advocate? You can't yell and actually reach heaven. You can't plead your cause without the Advocate. But the Bible says we have an Advocate with the Father. There's someone right there. Satan, I guarantee you, the Bible says that when Satan is called before the Lord, he likes to accuse us night and day. He accuses you all the time, accuses me all the time, and maybe rightfully so. But our Lord Jesus Christ, He's right there. He says, they're mine. They're mine. They're mine. They're mine. They're mine. CK's mine. Shirley Hurst's mine. Under the blood. Under the blood. They're covered. They're mine. They're mine. They're mine. They're mine. And He says, now listen to this. There's not an attorney like this. Out of all the Father hath given Him, He hath not lost one. He wins every single case through the power of His blood. Now, let me tell you, if you have an option between a doctor who wins 100% of the time and a doctor who wins 50% of the time, which one are you taking? You say, well, which one's cheaper? Oh, that's stupid. Okay, listen, the doctor that wins 100% of the time is always free. Didn't cost you a dime. By the way, the other doctor doesn't win 50% of the time. Never wins. Never gets it right. And it'll cost you everything. If you had an opportunity of having a lawyer that always wins and a lawyer that never wins, which one are you going to choose? Well, see, we have an advocate with the Father that has not lost one single person. He's not lost one single soul. And He never is. We must go to the advocate first. Matthew 11, verse 28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Think about the prodigal son there. Did the prodigal son go back to the father after he went out and tried to find some clothes? After he went out and tried to find some shoes, they go down to a pawn store and buy some cheap junk ring, 25 cents, twist it around, pop it out, and it's a ring. It's not the ring my father gave me, but it's a ring. I can go back there and I can have an air of importance about me. Did he go to his house there next door where the friends were at, and did he knock on the door and say, hey guys, we're going to have a party tonight. Come with me. I want to show my dad how much everybody likes me, and I want to show my dad how much I've repented. Or did he go to the father first? See, we should go to the Father first. Let Him put the shoes on our feet. Let Him put the clothes on our back. Let Him put the ring on our finger. Let Him go out there and arrange the party. Let Him tell us what the guest list is going to be. See, we got to go to God first. Seek Him first. Third verse of Rock of Ages says, nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. Naked come to Thee for dress. Helpless, look to Thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. That's the kind of attitude we ought to have as lost sinners. But that's the same attitude we ought to have as believing sinners. We ought to rush to the cross and cling to the cross. So much of the time, we lose that when we accept the Lord as our Savior. You say, now it's my family. God is my Father. Lord Jesus Christ, I'm joint heirs with Him. We start to get a little bit lifted up in pride, and we start to think that maybe we can do some things ourselves. And we forget that it all comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. We must rush to the cross and cling to the cross. There's a very famous picture there, by the way, a very famous painting about Rock of Ages. It shows the tempest of the sea of life. This poor soul in there, and a rock shaped like the cross, and she has nothing else to grab onto, so she clings onto the cross. That's what we need to do. We need to cling onto the cross. Going to the Lord first is the only way we can possibly know how to change our way of living. See, our way is in the way of God's way. We have to remember that. We have to remember that we must gaze away from all things that distract us from God and seek only after Him. You can look and say, well, man's approval, people approve of what I'm doing. Most people today, I don't care what you put in front of it, it's not about what most people do, it's not about who approves or who disapproves, it is about God. We have to put God first. We have to seek Him. Hosea 10 verse 13 says, ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity, ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. There is no path out for America today that does not include the Lord Jesus Christ. And we keep coming up with ones. We say, well, this politician, The political branch does it, or the judicial branch, or the legislative branch, or we can have some sort of reforms, or we'll go out there and we'll have some sort of protest, or we'll have, you know what we need today? We need people that are seeking God's face. Godly people. We're in such a mess today because the people up in Washington don't seek the Lord first. Years ago when I was a kid, I was up in Washington, D.C. on a vacation. And I remember, this is back in the days when there were about 14 or 15 parking spaces that you could actually park in Washington, D.C. They're all gone now. But there were actually some parking spaces. You used to be able to park around Washington Monument if you got there early enough in the morning. And any rate, we were up there, and there was one of the security guards, the Capitol Police, and he was there. And these real important people pulled up, and they had a dark black car, you know, with fancy license plates on it and such like that. And they pulled their started honking their horn at him, and he was trying to give directions to my dad. He put his finger up, told him to wait. He went back to talking again. They started honking again. They wanted to get through the little barrier there. Their time was more important than everyone else's time. He looked back at my dad and he said these words. He said, they think they're the most important people in Washington, D.C. And he says, but you are. He says, they can wait. He went back to talking again. I was up in the Capitol. I got to go into a session there and listen to them talk and speeches. I always thought, you know, they speak and people listen to them. Nobody listens to them. They just go up there and speak and run their mouths. It's pretty much like everybody else. It's kind of like my wife talking to me sometimes. But I was standing there in a corridor one time, and along came these senators coming out of their corridors. I'm sure they don't even do this anymore. But this was many years ago, and it impressed me. See, here's these people that are supposed to be very important people. And there's very important people lined up against the wall, just excited to see someone who is a senator, who's a representative. They started yelling at people, get out of the way! Get out of the way! We have important places to be. They started pushing their way through the crowd. Get out of the way! I thought, oh, how rude you're being to the people that put you in office. Do you know that kings rise and kings fall, but God's still on the throne? See, we sometimes get so filled up with our own importance. We think that if we just do a certain thing a certain way, everything will be all right. But we need to seek God and seek His face, and we need to do it today. We need to seek the Lord first. The Bible says here, you've plowed wickedness. That's what we've done in America. We've plowed it. We're reaping the iniquity. We've eaten the fruit of lies. When will we turn back to God? An interesting thing in all this, we'll not get our life right with God, without God. It's amazing. You say, well, me and my wife get along real fine as long as she's asleep. God's people get along real well with Him as long as they're not listening to Him. As long as His opinion doesn't matter. There's a famous story about a woman that went crazy because she saw herself in the mirror for the first time. And when she saw herself, she realized that she was horribly deformed. Drove her to madness. Do you know you wouldn't know whether you're pretty or ugly if you didn't have a mirror? Do you know you wouldn't know how much of a sinner you are without the mirror of God's Word? And it's easy to say, everything's all right in my life, until you all of a sudden you roll back and you look at God. And when you look at the Lord and you seek Him, it all of a sudden shows you who you really are. You know, we as God's people, we can't get right with God if we don't get right with God. I can't preach with God, having His power upon my life, if He's not with me and I'm not with Him. You can't live with God without Him. You can't go in His strength without Him. You have to say, Lord, I'm not going to go unless You go with me. And if you don't want to go there, we're not going. Could you imagine me saying to my wife, next week will be our 19th year, 19th anniversary. Imagine me on next Tuesday saying, you know, honey, you like to eat salad, so I'm going to send you to Olive Garden. And I like to eat fish, so I'm going to go to a fish place and eat fish. We'll have a better time that way anyway. She'll be at one restaurant and I'll be at the other restaurant. What part of that are we with each other? It's possible you could be in the same room and the presence of the Lord be in here and you're not with God and He's not with you. Someone's there and sitting down there and their heart's getting stirred and they're saying, oh, I've got to get my life right with God. Oh, I've got to get my life right with God. And there you're sitting there and you're saying, oh, I've got to get home. Oh, I hope the preacher will get quiet so I can go get my, I've got my pork roast cooking there at the house. Got potatoes and carrots in the crock pot. I just hope he quits pretty soon. Oh, dear Lord, nothing else matters but to be with you. The Lord is our teacher and He's your restorer. Hosea 10, verse 12, the last part says, it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. It sounds like it comes from Him, doesn't it? Matthew 11, 28, look on farther there. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart. You shall find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Psalm 34, verse 10 and 11 says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you that fear the Lord. Oh, that we would seek God. Write this down. We should be so occupied with seeking the Lord that we have no time to be filled with self. You know, God gives me plenty of things. He gives me everything that I need to take care of me. My time ought to be occupied with Him. I read an article just this last week in a Creation magazine. And it was talking about a curve. I'd never heard of it before, but it works in, I guess, any kind of thing. Basically, if you have infinite power, you don't need much time to do things. If you think of it, that's true. You ever seen these machines before and they have to take and knock out a hole in steel? Okay? Now, if I was going to have to drill a hole in steel, that's what I would do, is I have to drill a hole in steel. And if I was going to drill a hole in steel, it's going to take me a lot of time. Because my tools and my power is very small. But they have these big old machines, and they'll pass along the steel under it, and it will just punch that hole out in steel. Like it's nothing. I don't know how it does it. It's got a lot of power. The writer of this said, you know what? Isn't it funny that it took God 6 days to create the earth? He could have done it instantly. He just took 6 days just to give us a lesson, to teach us something. Here you are trying to fight along down there, and you have very limited power. You're trying to use a drill to drill a hole in steel, thick steel. And you are just wasting your time doing that when you need to seek God. And you need to come to Him. And you need to humble yourself. And you need to pray. But oh, you need to look towards God. Stop coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm praying today that You'll do this and this and this in my life. And start coming to the Lord and saying, Lord, what do You want to do in my life? I mean, how does God want to fix America? I know how I want America fixed, but is that the way that the Lord wants America fixed? How does God want our family fixed? How does He want us to turn back to Him? Aren't we tired of doing it our way? Shouldn't we be willing just to be a vessel, just to be used of Him? Your tools don't do that. They don't yell at you from the shelf and say, you're not using me correctly. So what reason do I have to look at the God of heaven and earth and say, you're not using me correctly? I mean, I'm about as smart compared to the Lord as that rake is compared to me, aren't I? I'm just a dumb rake. I'm a dumb shovel. I'm a hammer. Use me, Lord. Seeking is accomplished with all of our heart. Matter of fact, if you're not doing it completely, you're not really seeking, are you? This is one that men will enjoy. How many times have you guys went to look for something and you didn't really look for it? And you called your wife, "Honey, honey!" You know? I do that. I say, "Honey, it's not here." She says, "It's right in the closet." "Nope, not in the closet." She comes, walks over there, just reaches over there, pulls it out. My wife's the magician. And it was not there a second ago. How'd she do that? You know, I'm starting to think that maybe I'm not seeking for things with my whole heart. Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. He's first and last. If anyone we ought to seek Him. You ought to want to know the person who is your beginning and yours your end. You say, "Well, I tell you what, my neighbors don't like..." It doesn't matter what your neighbors like. They're not the person you're going to stand up before at the end. It's the Lord. You say, "My family thinks I'm nuts for going to church every Sunday." That's okay. The Lord doesn't. I'd be more worried about what the Lord thinks about you than I would what your family thinks about you, or what your neighbors think about you, or what your coworkers think about you. He is the first and He is the last. Everything starts with Him, by the way, in our rejoicing, and then it ends with us in His strength. Now, I think that that's important if you think about that. We'll look here in Psalm 105 and verse 3 and 4. "Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face evermore." I want you to think about it. It doesn't matter what you do. Take a football game. Everyone goes there to a football game, and both sides have got these big foam fingers. They sell them at every stadium, right? That say, "I'm number one. We're number one," with their name on it. Now, everybody can't be number one. Okay? I used to be a Dolphin football fan. Dolphins, sorry. But they still have foam fingers that say we're number one. They're not. They don't even have enough fingers on a hand to tell you where the Dolphins sit. Okay? There's a couple college football teams that, you know. But listen, everybody at the beginning of the game, they're cheering for their team. "Yay, team, go, team!" That's rejoicing. Everybody, anyone can rejoice. We start out serving the Lord, we rejoice. By the way, when you got saved, when you accept the Lord as your Savior, weren't you rejoicing? You're like, "Hey, this is wonderful! Jesus Christ died for me!" But you know what? It's not over there. Do you know the Lord's still working on you? He's changing things in your life. Imagine where you would have been if it had not been for Jesus Christ. And imagine where you could be if you would just trust and rest in Him. But think about that for a minute. You say, "Well, preacher, I'm trying to get to where God wants me to be." How can you possibly try to get to where God wants you to be if you're not doing it in His strength and His power? You can have well-meaning intentions. I'm not trying to be mean to you. You can have well-meaning intentions. Mom could have one of her accountants there at work come in tomorrow morning and decide she's going to come in early and she's going to rearrange the budget in a way that Mom will like it. But it doesn't mean she'll be right. Because she could rearrange it and it not be right. I could go to the library and I could rearrange all the books and put it in a different order. You know? Put all the A's with all the A's and all the B's with all the B's in the whole library. Just move them around. I could do that, but you know, it's not just about me. It's about a system that everybody can understand. It's about the official system. And we sit back there sometimes and we say, "Well, I'm working to get to where God wants me to be." Why aren't you letting the Lord work in you? I get frustrated as a pastor and as a preacher because I'm not always the preacher that I want to be and I'm not always the pastor that I want to be, and it really drives me crazy. And I remember a little song that I used to sing when I was a kid. "He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be." You can pick on me, by the way, for not being the preacher I ought to be or not being the pastor I ought to be. Go ahead. But you know what? God's still working on me. He's not done with me. I'm going to be fabulous right before I die. Like 2 weeks before I'm dating Rick, he's the most wonderful preacher in the world. I'm gone. Why couldn't I have started that way? Because it takes the work of God in me. And you too. You sit back there and you say, I've failed the Lord so many times, and He doesn't want me anymore. How can you possibly speak to the Lord? Can I tell you, all of you, something today? If you are alive, I like saying if you're alive today, or if you're here today. Isn't that funny? You better be here. If you're not here and your body's here, you've got a problem. If you're alive today, God wants you. If you're dead today, then I guess God's done with you. He's got you. But you're sitting back there and you're saying, oh, I'll seek God on my terms. But David said, when thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. We need to seek God completely with our whole heart. Not with men's service. Not with our eyes. With our whole heart. The whole force of who we are. If not, we're just playing around. The Lord is not only the beginning and the end, but He's everything in between. And you know, sometimes you can have good beginnings and good ends, and the middle be rotten. Movies are like that, aren't they? They have a good beginning, everything's happy, then everything falls apart in the middle, and then it gets good right at the end. Rotten. Just rotten. Who wants that? You can have that with meals. Maybe the appetizer is really good. You know, Miss Joan used to make these ham things with cream cheese in them, and they rolls them up, and she cuts them into little slices. She'd give a tray to me and Brother CK. We'd have our own personal tray. Good. Dessert, good. Chocolate cake with chocolate frosting, some chocolate ice cream, enough to make your little body just scream for sugar pain. Wonderful. And then the meal in the middle could be rotten. But with the Lord, He's not only good at the first and good at the last, He's good all the way through the middle. Have you ever had a meal where you just sat there and you said, it's so good, I hope it never ends? Do you know with the Lord, that's what it's like? It's just so good to be with God. It's just so good to walk with Him. Haven't you ever met a friend and you just didn't want to leave them? There's many people in this room that have people that are up in heaven today, and they're sitting back and they're saying, I wish I never had to be away from them. Well, today we never have to be away from God. Our Lord Jesus Christ is with us, whether we're in the darkest of valleys or whether we're on the brightest mountaintop. He's with us in the beginning. He'll be with us at the end. And praise God, He's with us all the way through. So this years ago, when Miss Mary's husband passed away, I had just become pastor, and I called her up, and I didn't know what I was going to say to her. And I called her up, and it's the longest conversation. We were not ones to talk on the phone or anything like that, but it's the longest conversation we ever had. We talked for well over an hour. I remember sitting down in the house and just sitting there talking to her on the phone. It was back in the days when phones were connected to walls. I hung up. My wife said, how's she doing? And I said, the Lord's already gotten there. She didn't need me. The Lord beat me to her. You know, I think about that all the time with the widows and widowers. Is I think that you have a relationship with the Lord that's different from everybody else in this room. Because you had something, you lost someone in your life that nobody can replace. And a relationship that went on for years, years beyond what I understand. My wife and I said we'll be married 19 years. But for some of you, you lost your loved one after 40, 50 years of time. I can't even understand that depth of love. But you know what's wonderful? Is not one single day has to go by without you having Jesus Christ there. And a lot of times, widows and widowers have a deep relationship with the Lord, deeper than other people understand. Because the Lord never will take something away without giving you something back. I wish sometimes that I would have that kind of a relationship with the Lord without having to lose my wife. I wish that I would have to seek the Lord the way that you have to seek the Lord, because you have to have Him. You've got no one else there. You see, sometimes we get so accustomed to holding on to our crutches that we have around us and the people and the friends, and we don't seek the Lord the way we ought to. Do you understand what I mean? You know what I mean. Young people, they don't understand what I mean though, do they? You know, it's so easy to think, I can get through this life, I have strength in my body. CK, you know what I mean. You pray prayers and you just say, Lord, I need you. But you don't really think that you need God. But we need Him every part of the day. Every part of our life. We need to seek Him with all of our heart. He is worthy of our continual, persistent seeking. Psalm 105:4 says, seek His face evermore. And then there, 1 Chronicles 16:11, seek His face continually. We need to understand that He is willing to impart to us full understanding. Proverbs 28:5, evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. In seeking the Lord, we come face to face, this is the last things, with all that rightfully belongs to the Lord. G. Campbell Morgan said, the Jesus that men want to see is not the Jesus they really need to see. A lot of times, we want just someone to give us everything we want, everything to be happy. Only look at the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross, and never look at the fact that He expects me to do something. He expects me to serve Him. Not because I have to. How many times did Paul talk about that? Paul called himself a slave, a servant to the Lord. God had not made him a servant. God had made him free. Paul said, I am a servant. People said, Paul, if you'll just stop talking about the Lord. They told it to Peter. Peter, if you'll just stop talking to the Lord, we won't put you in prison anymore. We won't beat you anymore. We won't hurt you anymore. Peter said, I can't. I have to. Jeremiah said that. He said, Lord, I was going to keep my mouth shut. And I could feel it inside of me. It was just burning up inside my bones. It just had to come out. I had to say something. The Bible says, the zeal of mine house hath eaten me up. When we seek the Lord right, it will just devour us inside. We have to say what we ought to say to the Lord. This is the last thing. In seeking the Lord, we come face to face with all that rightfully belongs to Him. I went backwards there. Last thing here. Matthew 6:13. The Bible says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. You see, today there's only one kingdom, and you're not the king. I'm not the king. It's His kingdom. There's only one power, and it comes from God. There's only one glory, and it's His. No one's going to come along to heaven and say, oh, wow, you're the most beautiful thing in heaven. Not going to happen. All the kingdom is His. All the power is His. All the glory is His. why don't we today set aside for a minute that pitiful shambles that we keep trying to build up in our life? Why don't we just stop trying to exercise that little wimpy muscle that we have in our own strength and our own power? Why don't we just kind of get rid of the fact that we keep trying to fix ourselves and heal ourselves and pour things into our life that are going to make us better when we look like we're about ready to die? And why don't we just seek the Lord with all of our heart and realize that it's His kingdom, it's His power, it's His glory forever. And then our Lord Jesus Christ said these words, or this word, Amen. When you've had perfection, when you've seen perfection, there's nothing else that needs to be added but just to say, Amen. So be it. That plan's perfect. So be it. That kingdom's perfect. Amen. That power is perfect. Amen. That glory is perfect. Would you this morning just say, so be it in your life? Seek Him with all thine heart.